Good to be with all of you again here this morning. I'll tell you, I got a couple of things as I was trying to get prepared for the sermon. God had just been dealing with me on a few little things, and I broke down just some various little things. I'm going to be all over the place today, so just bear with me today. I know sometimes I like to stay on point and stuff. I don't know where I'm going to go with all this, but praise God if I do. I know it would be good what he wants. First off, I'm going to start over in Luke, the 12th chapter, the 49th verse, if you would. When you get there, you know, say amen. Let's all stand in honor of God's word and we'll read it. My main part of my text, though, is going to be over in Ephesians 5, the 5th chapter. But we'll just let you stand for the 12th chapter of Luke, the 49th verse. One verse. When you get there, please stand. And it says this: I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? Let me say that again. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart again. One more time, Lord, to stand up here, Lord. I praise you for your mercy. I praise you for your grace. I praise you for saving my soul one day, Lord. I cannot praise you enough for that, and give you the deserving that you need to have, Lord, and the praise that you deserve. Lord, I ask you, Father, to be with the souls that are here this morning, Lord. Father, I don't know anyone's heart. You do. But Father, I do know this morning, that you do know them, Lord, and you know where they stand, and you know what's in their hearts this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that your Spirit would come down and put the convicting power of your Spirit upon the lives of those that need it. And, Lord, we will give you the praise for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I am come to send fire on the earth. If you look at that, it looks like it's very abruptly broke right here, that Jesus is letting his inner thoughts come out right here. What he's saying is, it's looking like it's just going to be spread across the whole earth, is what he's saying. Whatever he's talking about, and I'll get into that here in a little bit, it's going to be spread out across the whole earth, is what he's trying to say. It's just like heaven's going to open up, and it's going to come down, and it's going to be spread across the whole earth. And that's exactly what happened. He said, you know what? He said, I will that if it be already kindled. What he's saying, I wish that it would already happen. We knew what he had to go through before it got to this point. But he had to go and suffer on the cross. He had to die. He had to be risen again. And then eventually, though, the day of Pentecost come. But what he's saying is, he said, I come to send fire on the earth. If you remember right, what John said over, he said, I baptized you with water. But he said, there's going to come one later who I'm not even able to latch his shoes. He said, he's going to be baptizing you with what? With the Spirit and with fire. That's what he said. And I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, this is what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to talk about a Spirit-filled life is what I want to talk about. It's important that you understand that, and I say this quite a bit, but I believe this is what's going to get us through. I believe this is what's going to help us, as Greg had talked this morning, to have the Spirit in our life, to help us to get through, to get to where we can be one of these days, where God wants us to be. We have to have the Spirit of God that abounds in our lives. Over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse, it says this, and it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What's it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, if you look at it there, what it's saying is to be completely full of the Spirit of God is what it's saying. He said, and it's not an imperative thing. It's an imperative thing here. What it is a command. It says this, it's not an option. It is for everyone that claims to be a Christian. I'm here to tell you this morning, you have to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not, it's an imperative, it is a command is what it's saying. For the believer, the Holy Spirit is not just a resident in our lives, which it is. It wants to be present in our lives. Can I say that this morning? It wants to have full control of your life. The Holy Spirit wants to do that. Romans 8:9 says this. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But then it goes on to say, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If the Spirit of God don't dwell in you, you're still in the flesh, is what it's trying to say. That's what I'm going to get to the rest of verse 9 here in a little bit. But as you said, for the believer, the Holy Spirit has to be paramount in our lives. Don't ever let that escape you. Don't ever let that go out of your mind. If you are saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Absolutely. It's for all believers. It is to be an ongoing event. It is something that is a repeated action in our lives. It's not just one and done. Praise God, when I got saved, the Spirit of God flowed into my life. I know it did. I tell you about that many times. And if you're saved, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God flowed into your life at that time. Do you feel it every day? Not every day. Can you? Absolutely you can. But do we feel it every day? Not all the time. But I'm here to tell you, you're not going to go very long without feeling the Spirit of God and the presence of God in your life. Can I ask you a question this morning? Whenever a child is born, do you give it one meal and that's it? No, you don't. You feed it constantly and constantly. That is the way it is with the Holy Spirit of God. It dwells in us and comes into us, and time after time after time, it feeds us and gives us what we need. Being filled with the Spirit isn't about getting more of the Spirit. It's about you letting you, let the Spirit have more of you. That's what it's about. That's whenever I talk, sometimes we convolute this thing so much sometimes, but whenever we talk about it, I want to tell you something this morning, and this is the truth. No pastor, no leader in a church, no teacher, and no singer can stand and truly minister for God without the power of the Holy Spirit being upon them. You cannot do it and do it right. Absolutely. And likewise, I'm going to put it on you. No one should sit back there and listen in the same way either. If you're listening to God's Word, if you're listening to singing, you should let the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit should be indwelling in you and letting you soak it all in. Absolutely. There will be evidence of the indwelling in you. There will absolutely be evidence. The first part of the verse says this, and be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess. And why did Paul put that in there? Because whenever somebody is drunk, what is there? There's evidence. There is evidence of it. But you know, because getting drunk changes you. There will be evidence of being drunk. That quiet, shy person is running around with a lampshade on their head. The person is usually fearful. It turns bold as a lion and thinks that they can take on anything. The person who's very intelligent can become very, very dumb things and do very dumb things. A kind and loving person can become hateful and mean. And because alcohol changes you. Alcohol will change you in a negative way. But Paul goes on to say this, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Why? Because whenever you're filled with the Spirit, there will be evidence of it, and there will be a change in your life. Absolutely, there will be. There will be. When you are controlled by the influence of the Holy Spirit, you are changed for a positive way. There's a positive adaptation that comes upon your life. Absolutely there is. I'm here to tell you this morning there is. There will be evidence of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. The person that doesn't think that they can witness, whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they are able to speak boldly for Jesus Christ. Bitterness becomes loving. Bitterness becomes loving and forgiving. Fearful becomes confident. Angry becomes kind. That is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. We will need an attitude adjustment whenever the Holy Spirit comes into our life. But it shouldn't be in the spirit of a bottle. It should be because the Holy Ghost is upon our lives and He gives us that attitude adjustment that we absolutely need. He does that. Only the Spirit can make even bad things in life. The Spirit can do that, can make things seem great. The Holy Spirit can do that with force. There are times in our lives, you've seen it time after time, when bad things happen to Christian people. It's evident, they get down for a little bit. Sure they do. But they overcome it through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. To know that you can overcome. Verse 20 of that verse says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read this story here a while back, and this is so true sometimes. There was a man in a church, and every Wednesday night, he would stand up and give the same testimony. He said, life is getting gooder and gooder and sweeter because of his relationship with Jesus. And they said that he did this Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday for years. The people in the church got tired of it. They said they got tired of it. One day the man went to the doctor and the doctor told him that he had sugar diabetes. And he said that. So the people in the church thought that he would be down. They thought that he would be depressed. And they couldn't wait till Wednesday night. The man got up and he said, "Life has gotten gooder and gooder. And life has gotten sweeter and sweeter. And praise God," he said, "I just turned into sugar." That's how you adapt. That's how you overcome, through being filled with the Holy Ghost. I say this a lot, but whenever you're dealt lemons, make lemonade out of it. That's through the power of Jesus Christ. That's through His Spirit. Joy is not a thermometer. Can you say that? You understand what I'm saying? Joy is a thermostat. Joy is not a thermometer. Why? Because it sets the atmosphere. Your joy should not depend on what's going on around you. Your joy should be in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And your joy should be when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That is where our joy lies. In Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you." My heart is so hungry this morning for this church to see God not only in this generation, not only in this generation, but in past generations, not just with nice services, not with just entertaining music, not with just pleasant sermons. That's my heart, it burns for this. I am so hungry for a move of God. Not only in this church, but in every church across this country and around this state and around this community. I am hungry for a move of God that would cause people to fear God again. Listen, the fear of God is not in it as much as it used to be. Pray God, and I see that in the churches sometimes. The moving of the Holy Spirit that caused everyone to be in awe of how it moves and how it does. That movement that draws the young and the old. It'll draw them both, no matter where they're at in life. It'll draw them to God through the power, through the indwelling, through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. A movement that the only thing that matters is God and what He wants. When was the last time you've seen a movement like that? That the only thing that absolutely matters is what God wants and what He wants for His people. I hunger for that. A moving of the Holy Spirit is so strong that those who experience it have no problem casting off anything that stands in the way of doing what God wants them to do. I'm not talking about Drift Run Church this morning. I'm talking about the ones that are sitting in Drift Run Church this morning. Amen? I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about everybody in the sound of my voice. I pray and I hunger that the Holy Spirit fills you so much that all that your desire is to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Any other type is just a substitute. Anything else is not real. Anything else is not what God wants. Anything else is dead religion. It is a dead religion. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Then if you skip down to verse 5, it says this, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." When Jesus said, you know what, whenever the scripture I read earlier said, you know what, I wish that the fire had already started. Brother said, the fire started the day of Pentecost. The fire is here today. And I'm telling you, we sit in churches sometimes where they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the Holy Spirit. They deny the power that God has given them. Paul is telling Timothy that in the last days, the church would start denying the power of God, and they are doing it today. Absolutely, they are doing it. There's something that's stirring in my heart, brothers and sisters, and I want to see a Holy Ghost-filled revival fall. Amen? You may ask, well, why haven't you scheduled revival? Because God has not given me yet the time and the place and what I want to do. I've been praying about it, and I hope you have been too. But I'm not the type to just schedule revivals. I don't do that. I want revivals to schedule themselves. I'm not talking about a week of service and we have here down the road. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about individuals being revived. I'm talking about families being revived. I'm talking about teenagers being revived. I'm talking about adults being revived. I'm talking about older folks being revived. I'm talking about everybody letting know that the Spirit can fill you up and revive you beyond what you have right now. Can I ask you a question? And this is for everybody in here. Please, don't take it as I'm picking on you, because I pick on myself too. When was the last time you fell on your knees and asked God to fill you and your spouse with the Holy Ghost? When was the last time you done that? When was the last time you absolutely fell on your knees and said, Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for the salvation you give us. But Lord, I pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit of God. When was the last time you done that? When was the last time you fell on your knees and asked God to fill those in your church family with the Holy Ghost? When was the last time you did that? I'm asking this morning because it's a very serious question, because I believe we need to do that. We pray, Lord, be with them, bless them, do this and that. That is awesome. That's great. But Lord, fill them with your presence and with the Holy Spirit and with the power of your presence of your Spirit. We're good sometimes about complaining. We really are. I do it. We're good about asking why things are not happening in this church or in any other church that we're in. When was the last time you prayed for the Holy Ghost to move in the church and fill it with His Spirit? When was the last time you asked the Spirit to fill Dalton and Morgan? When was the last time you did that? Dalton is trying to take on the young people in this church. And I wrote this down. Do you know what? That is one of the biggest responsibilities that this church has got. When was the last time any of us got on our knees and prayed that the Holy Spirit would fill Dalton and Morgan to give them the wisdom and let them teach and do what needs to be done in this church? I'm just saying. When was the last time? When was the last time you prayed for the teachers and the piano players and the leaders of this church and asked God to fill them with your Holy Spirit? And say, God, give them the wisdom to teach us. Give them the power to continue to play the piano. Give them the power to continue to sing. When was the last time any of us did that? Every one of the teachers, from the nursery right up to Greg and him. When was the last time you fell on your knees and absolutely prayed that God would send the power of His Spirit to indwell these people? Yes, they need prayers for wisdom. Absolutely they do. But to go along with that, they need prayers to be filled with the Holy Ghost to help them to use that wisdom in the way that it needs to be used. Praise God. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just trying to let you know there is a way that seemeth right. When was the last time you prayed for those who sat beside of you each week? Let me ask you that. And prayed the Holy Spirit would fill them. You look to your left, you look to your right. Maybe you sit in the same seat every week. I don't know. That don't bother me. But I'm saying, when was the last time you prayed for those on your left and your right to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And as we go down through the week, that the Holy Ghost would be within them to guide them and to direct them and to show them. We do not know what somebody is going to face down through the upcoming week. Absolutely, we do not. But I tell you one thing we can do. I know someone that knows, and I know that we can pray, God, let the Holy Spirit indwell them to face whatever they need to face. When was the last time you prayed for Jamie and Debbie and Tink and myself that the Holy Spirit would fill us and indwell us? I'm just asking. I know you pray for us for good sermons, and that's awesome. I know you pray for us to get better. I'm asking you though to pray that the Holy Spirit will indwell us and fill us, that we can do what needs to be done. I can't speak for the other three I just mentioned, but I can speak for me. I need your prayers every day. And I pray that you would pray that the Holy Spirit would indwell me and fill me each and every day. The next time you think this church is getting dry and stale, and you think that it's not going anywhere, you know what you need to do? I'm going to tell you. You need to get on your knees, and you need to pray that God would fill this church with His Spirit, that we could go out and die to a lost and a dying world and let them know that there is something more than what they have. That's what we need to do. Instead of talking about it, instead of thinking, oh my, praise God, we serve a God that is able to do above and beyond anything that we ask and think. Pray that God, the next time it gets dry and stale, you know what you need to pray? God, pray for the abundance of rain of the Holy Spirit to fall down upon each and every one of us. When you see the devil picking up his pace, can I tell you something? That's when us as children of God need to be praying more that He would lift up that standard that He talks about. That whenever He picks up His pace, praise God, we can pray that God, you know what? Send Your Spirit. Fast and pray that God would send an Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, that we could be what we need to be and what He wants us to be. It says over in Romans 15:9, says this, through mighty signs and wonders, by what? By the power of the Spirit of God. That's how this works. It's not about talent, but the touch of God. That's what it's about. All the talent in the world won't get you what the touch of God can get you. Absolutely. We need the Spirit in our preaching. We need the Spirit in our praying. We need our serving. Every aspect of our life, I can tell you this morning, we need the Holy Spirit indwelling us, showing us how to pray and what to pray for. We talked about the kids there a little bit ago. I wonder why I wrote this down. Here, we talked about, you know, whenever Luke was up here singing about the foundation. Over in Psalm 78:4, it says this, we will not hide them from their children. It says, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Can I tell you something this morning? I hunger for us to show the younger generation just what church should be like. What it should be. The older, I have been in church services down through the years where the preacher couldn't preach because the people would stand and testify and shout to the praises of God half the night. Amen. And the preacher was up here and he said, man, I couldn't have preached any better than what you just did. Praise God, that's what I'm saying. When the Spirit moves, whenever the Holy Spirit was moving in the way that it should, people couldn't sit down and be quiet. They wanted to praise God. They wanted to do that. Listen, it said, what's it mean? On several occasions, Bible, I wrote this down, God told the Israelites to do certain things. He told them to do this. And when they did it, you know what He told them to do? He said, you make sure your children understand why we did what we did. Praise God. Whenever I see Miss Swain shouting and praising and running to church, I say, what does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit is moving in her. Whenever I've seen Russell stand up and cry and start to testify, I knew what they were doing. I knew what was going on. I could tell my kids, listen, that's what it is to serve God and have the Holy Spirit move in you. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to stand up and testify, but I'm telling you, there will be a moving of the Holy Spirit in you. Not everybody does it the same way. I understand that. When you tell them how God moved through your family, through your nation. In Psalm 78 again, it says 6 and 7, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare unto their children. I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, Ben's going to be having kids one of these days, Lord willing. And I want the Holy Spirit to move in this church so much that one day whenever He sees it, He'll be able to tell them that that's why it did it. He goes on to say that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. What kind of legacy are you leaving your kids and your grandkids? That's for you to answer this morning. In Exodus 12, the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron about the Passover meal, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye this service? Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters, that I believe this morning? The thing that strikes me most about some of these things that God told them to do, they were done at their house, Greg. They were done at their house. Folks, we need church at home. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit at home, not just at the church. Amen? We need that. We need the Holy Spirit just as well at the house as we do here. 3 out of those 7 feast days that God told them to obey were done at their homes. Does that not tell us something? I praise God for church. I praise God for coming here. But I'm telling you this morning, brothers, we need to be what we say we are at church. We need to be it at the house as well. Yes, we do. We have a lot of things at the house. Yes, we need to be like a Shunammite woman. Remember, whenever she made a place for Elijah, whenever he passed through, we need to be like her. We need to make a place for God at the house, not just at church. We need to make a place for the Holy Spirit to indwell us at the home, not just here. We make room for a lot of other things at the house. Oh, yes, we do. We make room for MTV. We make room for other music stations. We make room for ESPN. We make room for all manner of things at the house. Brothers and sisters, we need to make room for the Holy Spirit of God at the house. There's cussing, there's fighting, there's drinking, there's all other kinds of things in people's homes. Praise God, there needs to be the Holy Spirit at our houses. Absolutely. Do not allow, we need to take Him where we work. We need to take Him no matter where we go. The Holy Spirit is to fill us and go with us, each and every one of us. Every one of us. We should have Bible study at the house. Amen? I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be so much involved. I want it to be there. I don't want preaching just to be a job. I want it to be what God has called for me to do. I don't want it to be a burden. And it should not be a burden to you to serve the Lord either. Amen. Should not be a burden. Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with it. And I pray this morning that God would send the power of His Spirit upon your life, and that you would be filled with the Holy Ghost and the power and the Spirit of His coming. Praise the Lord. You know what the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, causes us to do? It causes us to walk differently in the world. Amen. Absolutely it does. Whenever we walk, you know what? I say this, and I absolutely mean this, that whenever somebody sees and they know you're a Christian, you won't have to open up your mouth. Because they know that there's a difference in your life. They'll know it. They'll know the way you act. They know the way you talk. They know the way that you do things. Because you're indwelled and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The only way to be filled with the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. You can witness to others. To be filled with the Spirit, you need it. Amen. When you testify, be filled with the Spirit. Testimony is not just words. A testimony is when you're filled with the Spirit and God has done something for you, you want to put it out there. Well, come get a song. I'm about done. Let me summarize with this. The key to a Christian life, absolutely the key to it, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Can I ask you something this morning? Maybe you feel like you're burned out this morning. Let me give you a solution. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe there's a situation in your life right now. I don't know what it is. Maybe you can't explain it. Maybe you don't even understand it. Let me give you a solution. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let Him guide and direct you. Maybe you're sitting back here this morning. This is all Greek to you. You don't have no idea what I'm even talking about. I got a solution for that too. Come and be saved and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I hope you know what I'm saying. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hope you felt the Holy Spirit of God in your life. I hope you felt that. Because if you haven't felt it, I got scripture that says that if you have not the Spirit of God, the last part of that verse, he said, you're none of his. That's not me standing up here writing and spewing out words. That's what the Bible says. Without the Spirit of God, you're none of his. That's pretty blunt. That's pretty bold. But Jesus Christ wants you to be saved. They want you to have the Holy Spirit. He said, it's expedient me to leave. He said, I had to go. That's what he said. Why? But he said, I'll send you a comforter. And a comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. And be filled with it. Amen. If you have a need this morning, please come.